Wellness from Excalibur Dehydrator.
Welcome to the Colin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Colin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in. You're listening to the weekend edition of the Corlin Economics Report. I'm Al Corlin. Appreciate you joining me. Starting out the show this week with one of my favorite guests, Jeff Deist. I've known Jeff for a number of years. Met him when he was working for Congressman Ron Paul in Washington, D.C. Went on from there to kind of become family friends, for lack of better terms. He is back working for the congressman as his chief of staff. Very, very bright guy. Jeff, thanks for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Al.
Okay, I want to talk a little bit about what was announced last week. I'm going to give an introduction here, and this is concerning the congressman. An introduction from Texas Straight Talk, the first two sentences. Here's a direct quote. Since the announcement last week that I will chair the congressional subcommittee that oversees the Federal Reserve, the media response has been overwhelming. The groundswell of opposition to Fed actions among ordinary citizens is reflected not only in the rhetoric coming out of Capitol Hill, but also in the tremendous interest shown by the financial press. The congressman has been adamantly going in this direction for quite some time now. He feels that there was no transparency in the Fed. I agree 100%. He feels there needs to be transparency. I agree 1,000%. But your comments, Jeff, first of all, are you surprised that he is going to be chairing this congressional subcommittee?
Well, I'm not that surprised. It was a great Christmas present just to get confirmation of it. You know, he's been the ranking member of this subcommittee for the last several years while the Democrats were the majority party. Prior to that, he's been on the House Financial Services Committee for several years, so we certainly do have the spot in terms of the seniority. Now, of course, there was some talk that the business or Wall Street establishment would lean on the Republicans, especially presumably the Speaker-elect, Mr. Boehner, to prevent Ron from holding this subcommittee chair, prevent any sort of embarrassment to the Fed. But ultimately, it didn't happen, and you know, I think it's going to be an unbelievable opportunity for Dr. Paul.
I don't understand. Why would Boehner be opposed to this?
Well, I think there's a lot of people who in the financial world who make money off what the Fed does and don't want to see it attacked or questioned or challenged. In other words, the status quo has worked for them. It's not working for the economy. It's not working for the dollar. But sure, I think there are people, plenty of people, who would rather not see Ron hacking the Fed via his committee. But as we're finding out, Al, there's plenty of people who do want to see him do just that.
Well, you know, one comment, Jeff, as you know, I was on the board of directors of a bank for 22 years, and we worked under the auspices of the Fed. You know, we would have guys come up from San Francisco, from the San Francisco branch of the Federal Reserve Bank, a couple times a year, and these guys were nothing but helpful, okay? And now, the other side of that coin, though, is in a macro sense, a small organization like that, controlled by a small number of people, really, really influencing to a very large extent the economy in the United States, controlling the lifeblood of the economy in the United States, i.e. the money supply. The American people need to know what their actions are, number one, and then they need to make up their own mind whether or not they feel the actions of the Fed are beneficial to the economy. And then the next step, in my opinion, and maybe I'm being a little altruistic here, but the next step then is, I think the American people, an informed public, needs to vote on whether or not we need the Fed. I have to tell you, in the grand scheme of things, buddy, I don't think we do.
Well, that's certainly the Austrian conclusion. You know, we've got a Federal Reserve System that's been in place now for coming up on 100 years. So clearly, you know, we couldn't dismantle it overnight. Congressman Paul's thought is that the best approach or the best start that would cause the least harm or turmoil in the markets would simply be to legalize competing currencies. In other words, right,
sure,
now, if you are in America, you are literally required to conduct business in dollars, and
right,
you can literally go to jail if you use some other medium of exchange. But, you know, Ron has always supported legislation that would simply allow gold and silver, for instance, to be used as legal tender to compete with the dollar.
Mm-hmm.
And that in and of itself, without really doing anything to the Fed, would immediately place upon both the Fed and Congress sort of a governor switch.
Yeah.
In that if you have to compete with currencies that actually have inherent value and actually hold their value because they are somewhat limited in nature and have to be dug out of the ground as opposed to, you know, just printed, then automatically the Fed would have a harder time because the dollar would be somewhat exposed and Congress would have a harder time having the Fed paper over their deficits because everyone would see that, how gold and silver, for instance, those wouldn't be the only examples, but those would be the obvious ones, would hold their purchasing power and their value. So we think that would be a wonderful experiment in freedom.
Well, I'll tell you what I find to be really interesting. I don't think it would be an experiment in freedom. I think it's a definite move in that direction. But, you know, it strikes me as being wrong when we have subjective actions based on subjectivity controlling the economy versus actions based on real supply and demand. Monetary actions, when you have a gold standard or an asset-based currency, monetary actions are based on supply and demand. And that has, for hundreds and hundreds, thousands of years, that has proven to be the most effective way for a monetary system to operate. When you are under the auspices of a monetary system where the actions are based on subjectivity, opinion, what have you, it just doesn't work. Historically, the longest a fiat currency has worked with any degree of effectiveness, Jeff, has only been 200 years. I don't understand. I completely agree with you and Ron when you say we need to go back to an asset-based currency. And with an asset-based currency, the role of the Fed would certainly be diminished.
Yeah, absolutely. Purely fiat currencies have always failed historically, and ours has been very much purely fiat, at least since the 70s, depending on how you want to define things. But, ultimately, we have to remember here that, you know, we have this democratic form of government that has unfortunately replaced our constitutional republican form of government. And the worst combination, in our view, is to have a democracy and a fiat currency, because then you have democratic groups voting themselves more and more money, more and more stuff, more and more entitlements, more and more military money to support the military contractors. So you have a voting system where members of Congress are rewarded for spending beyond what the Treasury takes in taxes, and so the Fed enables that. They're sort of the dealer to the addict, and by papering over and monetizing deficits and debt. And so fiat currencies plus democratic voting, I think, are a very dangerous combination.
This sounds like it's off the subject, but it really, really isn't. I find it very interesting, Jeff, that the mainland Chinese, okay, seem to really be moving in the direction, along with some of the other major economies in the world, at least under the surface of moving into the direction of an asset-based currency. China began touting, for lack of better terms, the wisdom of an asset-based currency, specifically a gold-based currency, interestingly enough, about 3 years ago. I have to tell you, with the growth that's gone on in mainland China, you know, that has to be the result of some very, very sound economic thinking. And my guess is that the Chinese, with as active as they are in the gold sector, my guess is you're probably going to see an asset-based currency coming out of mainland China. And I got to tell you, that's going to really shake up the economy in the United States if that happens.
Well, that could be interesting. It could also be very scary for folks who have dollars.
Mm-hmm.
But, the Chinese, clearly the movement of physical gold over the last 5 or 10 years is east, towards the Far East.
Oh, sure.
In terms of their holdings. But also, the Chinese have learned a very harsh lesson by selling us so many real, tangible goods in exchange for our unreal, intangible dollars. And now they're left holding the bag, and they've got billions and hundreds of billions of U.S. dollars, and they need to let those go, quietly, as opposed to causing a run on dollars by trying to dump them on the market precipitously. But yes, there's been a lot of talk about having sort of a new commodities-backed standard for currency, where there was sort of a basket, perhaps, of world currencies and even gold or something else. But it's going to be interesting, and I think no matter what governments and central banks try to do, there's always a flight to safety. There's
mm-hmm.
always a flight of real wealth towards security, where that wealth can actually be held in something, and wealth is going to get out of the U.S. dollar throughout the world.
Already happening. I mean, it's already happening with the trade that's going on between China and Russia. It's already happening with some of the noise coming out of the Middle East in terms of the currency of last resort for petrodollars, etc. I mean, people realize that the world is in trouble, and the United States is playing a big role economically in the fact that we are in trouble. Hey, Jeff, always a pleasure having you on the show. Thanks so much for your time. You have a very Merry Christmas, both you and your family. Big Al's going to be right back.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin &
Associates Incorporated provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Gold is like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2233 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
What if you could enjoy a refreshing cigarette without worrying about your health? Great news! Now you can enjoy everything you love about a cigarette without everything you hate. It's called the VaporMate e-cig, and it's made by Smokeaway, so you know it's good. VaporMate utilizes patented microelectronic technology that mixes rich tobacco flavor with harmless water vapor. It tastes like a cigarette, smokes like a cigarette, and best of all, it calms you down like a cigarette should. And if you call in the next 30 minutes, we'll give you your VaporMate e-cig kit valued at $129 free. No more secondhand smoke, smelly clothes, hacking and coughing. Just the great flavor and calming sensation of a real cigarette you can smoke anywhere. Claim your VaporMate when you get your tobacco-flavored filters free. A $129 value, yours free. Imagine the money you'll save each month. But you must call now.
Call 800-540-7570. That's 800-540-7570. Again, 1-800-540-7570.
There are many types of storable foods, but how about a superfood that contains every nutrient that the human body needs for survival? 50% protein, 300 milligrams of potassium per ounce, and calcium and magnesium for your heart and bones, with many more nutrients found in this incredible food source that the government does not want you to have. This product is available in powder, seeds, and oil, and is shipped free to your door in the U.S. This product is illegal to grow in the U.S., but is legal to import. Don't waste time thinking about storing food. Plan ahead and prepare for yourself and your family now, and be in control of your destiny. You can save and invest your money, but in the end, food will be your greatest asset. Remember what the Word of God says in Ezekiel 7:19. Call 908-691-2608 and see what the powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Remember, food will be your greatest asset. Call 908-691-2608. This product does not contain THC. Call 908-691-2608 today.
Calling all manufacturers from across the United States. Are you eager to have people buy your products right here at home instead of having them buy competing products made on the other side of the world? Do you want to build your business while helping boost our nation's economy at the same time? Then localmakers.com is the website for you. Our site provides an easy way for manufacturers to connect with customers within their local community as well as across the United States. From the small manufacturer who works out of their home to the large manufacturers across the U.S., localmakers.com connects customers to the closest manufacturer by simply entering their zip code. So if you make your own goods and want to expand your market, go to localmakers.com and put your products on one of our shelves. If you're not a local manufacturer but know someone who is, take advantage of the localmakers.com referral program and earn income by getting others to join. Simply go to localmakers.com and register. There's no cost to join. That's localmakers.com. Visit localmakers.com today.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome back. You have to admit, Jeff Deist is a very, very interesting guy. He is very well informed, well educated, etc., and I can't think of a better person to be steering the office of Congressman Ron Paul than Jeff. I am chatting right now with a friend of mine by the name of Sean Broderick. Sean is a guy who I've traveled with around the world. Sean is an analyst. He's involved with the Martin Weiss Organization down in Florida. He's a very, very intuitive, bright individual, and I want to get his opinion on something. You know, it came out on Bloomberg on Thursday, quote, Obama says recent weeks marked a season of progress. Here's a quote of the first paragraph, second paragraph, rather. Rather than a stalemate after the midterm elections, this has been a season of progress for the American people, Obama said at a year-end press conference at the White House. I really have to say that I kind of agree with that. I think the last month or so has shown progress in both sides of the aisle, at least beginning to work together. Sean, what are your comments on that?
Well, certainly they got some things passed which they needed to get passed.
Yeah.
They got a defense authorization bill, which includes a don't ask, a don't tell, so that's all passed. They also passed by a voice vote the 9/11 first responders thing.
Yeah.
So they passed that, and they also passed the New START nuclear treaty with Russians, which I actually think was the most important thing they had out there.
Yeah.
Because if, like, we hadn't gone ahead with that, then, I mean, who knows what the Russians would have done with their nukes, frankly. That was the thing I was really worried about. Thank goodness that was passed. So, certainly, in this lame duck session, they've really gotten more done, I think, than they had during, you know, the previous full session of Congress. So I think that certainly Obama can be happy about it. Certainly the Democrats can be happy about it. The Republicans look like they are more than just the party of no. So it's a win-win thing for everybody. But one of the things moving things along was people in Congress really wanted to go home for Christmas. And so they were willing to make deals at that point. When they come back, we'll have some new faces. They won't have that pressure on them. I think we could go right back into gridlock again, but we'll have to see how it works out.
Well, I hope we don't. I really, really hope we don't. I want to switch to kind of a subtopic of what you and I were just talking about, and that is the continuation of the tax policy that was instigated under former President Bush. Now, I have to tell you, I've got a bit of background, both educationally and, not a bit, a significant background educationally in economic issues, and I simply cannot agree with my colleagues who say that cutting taxes is good for the economy. Keeping taxes low is good for the economy. I gotta tell you, Sean, I just don't buy that. I mean, what did it do under the Bush administration? It sure didn't do very much there. I think that for our country to get out of the terrible situation that we're in, I think that the tax structure has to be changed a little bit. I'm not saying let's go crazy and charge a 90% tax on anybody making over $1 million a year, but I'm saying we got to look at the people who, the 50% of the population who are paying no taxes, and then we have to look at everybody else, and we have to come up with a structure that will work for the United States. And I think that low taxes don't work. What's your comment on that?
Well, like, as you said, during the Bush years, we had tax cuts, but they didn't create any new jobs. And
right.
Also, they have polled people to ask them what they will do with the money they will be saving thanks to these tax cuts. And more than 60% say they're actually going to bank the money because they're still worried about the economy.
Oh, yeah.
So it isn't an economic stimulus, that's for sure. The thing that gets me is that it seems that the Democrats and the Republicans all wanted to give the tax cuts to everybody below the top 2%. It's just that the Republicans insisted on giving the tax cut to the top 2%
of the wage earners, yeah.
Income earners, and that'll cost America like $120 billion a year over 2 years.
And that's something.
And so at the same time, we are either slicing the budget here and there or else not willing to pay money to stimulate the economy. And I think that that's money that we could have put to, say, build roads, build bridges. Now, personally, I don't mind the taxes I paid under Clinton.
Right.
And I think that if you put everybody's taxes up, as long as the money was used to actually stimulate the economy, I would be okay with that. But we're also paying two wars. We have to we have to pay for those two wars that we're fighting right now,
yeah.
And they seem to be wars without end. I would end
yeah.
those wars, personally. That would be the first thing I would do to help balance the budget that everybody seems so worried about.
Yeah, no, I agree with that 1,000%. I agree with that 1,000,000%. As does our, as does my studio dog here. She agrees with that 100% also. But it doesn't make sense. You know, you look at an income statement for a company, okay, and that income statement, if revenues are greater than expenses, you know, the company is solvent. Okay, if that isn't the case, the company is insolvent. I got an audience here; they're all agreeing with me. Why wouldn't that work? Why wouldn't that work for the United States?
Well, here's the thing: we have seen earnings on Wall Street go higher and higher. It's been a great quarter for earnings, but they haven't taken the money and actually used that to invest in new jobs. In fact, if you look at the recessions over the last, say, 30, 40 years, when we have a recession, they really cut back the workers, but then when the economy comes back, they don't bring them back. What they do is increase the hours of the other people who are working or ship jobs overseas.
Yeah.
We had an opportunity in the last session of Congress to take away the tax incentive, which currently exists, which actually pays company to ship jobs overseas.
Right.
The Overseas Investment Act, something like that.
Sure.
We need to end that. We also need to make some other changes so that it's not in corporations' best interest to take jobs and ship them overseas. That's the way we'll get jobs back. That's the kind of thing I think we really need to do.
Oh, I agree 100%. I mean, what has gone on in the economy, in my opinion, Sean, is just absolutely unimaginable. I simply don't understand how we got to the point that we've gotten, you know, and I finally came to the conclusion that the U.S. got to be where it was simply because of very, very selfish actions on the part of a whole bunch of people, and I don't think that that's a good thing. I got to tell you, we got about a minute left here, and I want to say that because of where the U.S. is right now economically, I am firmly convinced that what people need to do to protect themselves isn't to necessarily invest their money in the conventional stock market, but I think you got to go with hard assets. Your opinion? We got a minute.
Absolutely. Well, here's the thing. You know I like silver and gold, and in fact, they've been very good to me in like 2010, and I expect they'll continue to be good to me in 2011. But I am going to branch out because I think oil is really making a move, and I've been moving my subscribers into that recently, and we saw oil kind of underperform last year, and I think oil, energy, not so much natural gas, but you want to look in the energy sector at least for the first part of 2011. There's some good opportunities there, but of course, you know, hard assets, miners, stuff like that, I'll certainly keep plenty of those in my portfolio. Those are places where you can really get the returns. We'll beat the inflation that is coming. We aren't to inflation yet, but I mean, we could do a whole show on the early signs we're seeing of how that inflation is finally going to be passed through from places like China and stuff where they're actually dealing with inflation that's, you know, quite rip-roaring right now.
And we're going to do that in the weeks ahead. Sean, thank you so much. The gal's going to wish you all a Merry Christmas, and that includes you and your family, Sean.
Well, my absolute best Christmas wishes to you, Kathy, and the rest of the family, and the dog. I'm so glad the dog was able to make the show.
Thanks.
And just have a great Christmas and a Happy New Year.
We'll be back.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Cortland Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Men, take control of your prostate health without the risk of nasty side effects with Prostate Secure. Early detection, regular prostate exams, and PSA tests are a must for men over 40. Listen, if you have symptoms of an enlarged prostate but don't want to take a drug with possible nasty side effects, or if you're over 40, then use Prostate Secure, a natural dietary supplement for men. Prostate Secure is a scientifically formulated blend of clinically significant amounts of natural ingredients. It brings together the most powerful plant sterols like beta-sitosterol and saw palmetto, along with antioxidants such as vitamin D3, resveratrol, and lycopene to support good prostate health, proper urinary flow, function, and more. Check out ProstateSecure.com. Order online and save 10% with promo code SAVE10 or call 1-800-239-9432. That's 800-239-9432. Or visit ProstateSecure.com. Take control of your prostate health naturally with Prostate Secure.
Question. What would you rather drink? Acidic water, which burns holes in your body and causes loss of bone mass, or alkaline water, which promotes high energy and vibrant health? The answer is clear. And if you're drinking acidic water, you're helping cancer cells and bacteria to grow out of control. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using Plasma pH Drops is the best way to alkalize your water and help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to a healthy alkaline level. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, or cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or by calling 269-409-1776. Again, 269-409-1776.
This is Alex Jones with 5 good reasons you should consider buying a solar power generator. Number 1. New climate legislation could easily double or triple your electric bill. Number 2. Our new energy czar wants to control how much power your electric company allows you to have. It's true. Total government control of electricity in the name of smart grid technology is coming. Number 3. In some areas of the country, the power grid is dangerously overloaded. And now, new socialist legislation is only compounding the problem. Number 4. Dangerous weather is always a threat to local grids. Every year, thousands of families lose their power from weather-related outages. Number 5. A solar power generator provides powerful backup, insurance, and peace of mind. Folks, I really believe in the solar power generators offered by Solutions from Science, one of my oldest sponsors. You can get more information at www.mysolarbackup.com. That's mysolarbackup.com. Remember, the government doesn't own the sun, so go to mysolarbackup.com or call 1-877-327-0365.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. You know, you have to admit, Rick Ackerman is a very, very interesting guy. I have learned to really respect some of his predictions, for lack of better terms. Incredibly accurate, been involved in the industry for a long time. So he is a newsletter writer that you really want to take seriously. Okay, back with another gentleman who I have taken seriously for a number of years, Kevin Kerr. Kevin, thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate it.
Well, thanks, Al. Good to be here.
Now, you're in New York someplace right now. Is that correct?
I am high above New York City. That's correct.
Well, you're on the
nice and chilly here this week.
If I'm not mistaken, you're on the 22nd floor someplace back there. Or
yeah,
thereabouts.
Right, midtown.
The higher you go, the colder it is. Kevin, your expertise, among other things, is in the area of commodities. We've discussed that before. A number of my colleagues are very, very bullish as to where commodity prices are going to go during 2010. A lot of people are, when I say bullish on that, I don't mean necessarily from the purchaser standpoint, but, from the purchaser user standpoint, but more from the investor standpoint. Do you think commodity prices as a whole, and let's start with precious metals, are going to perform well in 2010?
I have absolutely do. Yeah, I'm in the same camp, but probably even more extreme. I believe that, you know, the last decade, we've really seen commodities come into their own. They've come on a lot of radar screens. I've been trading commodities for 20 years.
Right.
So the last decade, we really saw commodities we talked about more than I've ever seen in my career. And I think now that people are more aware of it, the world is really starting to become a smaller place with more and more people, we are going to see commodities become a much more important asset class, mm-hmm. a more respected asset class. We're already seeing that. And actually a form of currency, mm-hmm. For lack of a better word.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, gold definitely and silver, I think one could say, you know, with a great degree of accuracy, are a form of currency. Let's talk about gold first. As my listeners are aware, I'm very, very bullish on gold. Right now we're seeing gold strengthen after a number of days of decreasing prices. Gold continues to go up right now. People, some of our guests are saying they're thinking a floor on gold would be 1,000. Others are saying a floor on gold would be around 1,100 an ounce. I'm more in the camp of 1,100 an ounce because I think you're going to see a significant decoupling between the price of gold and the value of the U.S. dollar. You know, in the past, as the dollar strengthens, the price of gold typically goes down. I don't think that's going to happen this time.
Yeah, I have to concur with you, Al. I've said in your program before, and you and I have discussed it at length over the years.
Mm-hmm.
Gold is you know a significant value, and it's now coming into its own. We did see it pull back at the end of the year, just as I talked about it.
Sure.
We saw a slight dollar rally. And we haven't really seen the dollar fall significantly since the start of the year, but as I expected, gold is ratcheting up very mm-hmm. quickly here, almost $40 in the last few days.
Yep.
And you know, again, trending back towards that 1100 mark. And really our target for this year minimally is $1,300 or $1,400, maybe $1,500.
Yeah.
And anything significant could drive it much higher than that. So I agree with you. I think 1100 is a minimal baseline for probably the next 12 to 18 months.
Let's talk a little bit about input, things that could drive the price higher. You know, my favorite one right now, you know, if you can have a favorite.
There's so many.
Well, no, there are. There are so many. I agree. I mean, as I wrote in an article, a number of articles that were published on Kitco, that, you know, I think we're in a perfect storm for gold. But right now, I think the main concern is the situation in the Middle East. That place is a powder keg. And I think the impact that if a major negative event occurred there, I think you'd see the price of gold go up $200 to $300 in a day.
Yeah, it's the events that we don't even know about
right.
yet. You know, like the 9/11s,
mm-hmm.
unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
Those things, unfortunately, probably will happen again, you
yep.
know, and where and when and how, we don't know. And those kind of unexpected events are the kind of risk premium we see pouring into not only oil and some of the other commodities, but certainly into gold.
Yeah.
It's one of the few places that you can have some security in such a world as we live in right now.
What do you think about silver? And the reason I'm asking, kind of a selfish reason, but my wife and I buy 1 ounce silver rounds. I like silver because I like the leverage that's involved in it. And also, I think in my cutoff for investing in gold really is somewhere around $500,000. I think if you're talking about purchasing less than that, you're almost wasting your time. I think silver is more suited to smaller investors. Do you agree with that?
I do, and I don't think it's even for smaller investors. I'll be very frank. I mean, I own more silver than I do gold
and yeah.
in the same form that you're talking about. And I like the metal for various reasons. One, because it is more affordable
sure.
on a relative basis, but also because it does have that industrial component. And you know, a lot of people don't even know that. They're
yeah.
unaware of that.
Yeah.
And I think that you will see silver increase in demand simply because of that, as well as its precious metal quality. So it kind of has a double-edged sword for silver, which gold doesn't necessarily have.
No.
But obviously, I like both.
Yeah, no, we're both in agreement on that. What about base metals for 2010, Kevin?
Well, base metals remain strong. Copper has been an overperformer. Many of the other metals, tin and lead and everything else, I think is going to continue to be in demand.
Mm-hmm.
China has an agenda. They are very smart. They know what they're doing. They're acquiring a lot of these things. I just don't subscribe to the idea that, this has all been a bubble. We may see some wild swings in some of these markets, that's for sure.
Yep.
But the long-term understanding is that population is growing, demand is growing, the economy will recover. And these prices will go up.
Yeah, I think you're completely right about that. Expertise in oil. Okay, we're seeing the price of oil ratchet back up towards $100 a barrel again. A lot of people are saying they think it's going to go higher. What are your views on that?
It's a little premature. You know, I was just on CNBC the other day, and I was asked the same question. And I said, you know, right now I think we've seen this ratchet up for a few reasons. One, of course, what's going on in Iran. Two, and elsewhere. And two, the colder weather in the United States. So it's important to understand that this, you know, this oil surging past $83 is probably getting a bit ahead of itself. If it starts to warm up a little bit, if things calm down in Iran temporarily, you know, we could see this close-end price adjust. But the important thing to remember is the longer-term price, like all the other commodities, is going to go up significantly. We're setting ourselves up for a real price spike in second and third quarter because a lot of production is down.
Yeah. You know, I had an interesting discussion with a fellow about the oil supply, the concept of peak oil, et cetera, et cetera. And my co-host on a show that now airs on the Business Radio Network, it will start airing, I should say, on the Business Radio Network in a couple of weeks. I do a show with a fellow named Steve Carr.
Yes, and congratulations on that, by the way.
Thank you very much. And Steve is convinced, based on his research, that really the concept of dwindling oil supplies is a misnomer. Would you agree with that?
I do 100%. You know, and again, I said this on the television the other day.
Mm-hmm.
The bottom line is people don't understand peak oil. This is not a spigot that is just going to be shut off and suddenly there's no oil. And that, a lot of times when people bring up peak oil, they're pigeonholed into that corner saying, well, what are you saying? We're out of oil? We're not out of oil. And oil itself will not run out for years. Now, they're talking about all these new finds. We must understand that these oil finds that we're finding are not the easy to get to, easy to refine crude. These are deep water, expensive to drill, expensive to refine crude. The price is going to go up to find these crude, and they're not in the best areas in the world, certainly for United States investment.
Well, let's talk about the find that was just announced today by Chevron in the Gulf of Mexico. What, about an hour's helicopter ride, as they called it, south of Louisiana? That's pretty big. But to get to that, boy, the technology that you're going to need is staggering. I mean, we're talking about something that's way underwater and then 5 miles under the bottom or something. Okay, well, that's very interesting. Kevin, take 20 seconds, if you would. Tell our listeners a little bit about what you do.
Well, I've been a lifelong commodities trader. I've worked with Paul Tudor Jones on the floor of the New York Cotton Exchange, and I have newsletters that I write. Our readers trade options with me, and we have a great old time. We have two websites, kerrtrade.com, K-E-R-R-T-R-A-D-E.com, and kerrcommoditieswatch.com, which is our publication.
Okay.
Love to have you stop by.
And if you folks want any information on that, we'll make Kevin our newsletter writer of the week next week. You can click on that banner, which is at the bottom of the homepage, and get all the information you want. The gal's going to be right back with James Turk. We're going to talk gold.
If the cost of your prescriptions are getting out of control, you want to listen carefully to this. RxDrugCard.com is a simple, innovative program designed to give individuals the same purchasing power as large HMOs and insurance companies. As a member of RxDrugCard.com, you'll enjoy savings of up to 80% on all prescription medications at over 52,000 USA pharmacies, including Walmart, Walgreens, and Eckerd's. Don't risk ruining your health by using cheap, counterfeit, foreign drugs. This program provides savings on safe, genuine, FDA-approved medications with low membership fees, unlimited use, no age or income requirements, and coverage for all pre-existing conditions. RxDrugCard.com is an absolute must for anyone who pays for their own prescriptions. Enroll today for as little as $4.50 per month at www.RxDrugCard.com and start saving immediately. RxDrugCard.com is backed by a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit RxDrugCard.com or call 888-216-2461. That's 888-216-2461.
I'm concerned about food for my family in the event of an emergency, and I know you are too. Are you ready? Don't wait for an emergency to happen. Put a plan together now with quality dehydrated food from Ready Reserve Foods. For nearly 40 years, Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, canning the finest in dehydrated foods. Other companies just broker canned foods. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer, controlling quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packing for maximum shelf life. Ready Reserve offers a balanced selection of fruits, vegetables, dairy products, proteins, and grains. Choose from a variety of pre-selected units or order by individual can to customize your own plan. When you purchase from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Call today for a free catalog, 1-800-453-2202, or visit ReadyReserveFoods.com. Call 1-800-453-2202. Ready Reserve Foods. Factory direct, wholesale pricing.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours, too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for three decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Are you tired of police, judges, and bureaucrats using traffic tickets and other regulatory traps to trick you out of your hard-earned money? Are you sick of fraudulent bankers rigging mortgages and using the foreclosure process to steal your home? You need to visit bestfreedomtools.com. Act now to get an amazing free catalog and free DVD packed with vital information to give you the upper hand against these so-called authorities. You will learn how to overcome all traffic fines, how to stop judges in their tracks, and how to effectively combat penalty notices of all kinds without paying a penny. All the information you need to regain your health, wealth, and power is yours at bestfreedomtools.com. To get your free catalog and free DVD, call 800-880-9976. That's 800-880-9976. Or visit bestfreedomtools.com now for your free catalog and free DVD. bestfreedomtools.com, giving you the information you need today.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Okay, here to wrap up the first hour of the Cornell Economics Report with my buddy Peter Brandage. Peter is a well-known guy. He is well-known in both the financial community and the business community, and thirdly, a lot of things that many people overlook. He is a very, very humble individual who does his best to help other people, puts his money where his mouth is. Pete, thanks for joining me, buddy. I appreciate
it. Glad to be here as always, Al.
It is Christmas, and I have to tell you, I'm kind of celebrating one thing in addition to everything else that you and I celebrate, and that is I'm seeing some cooperation on both sides of the aisle. I think the fact that the president compromised with the – or compromised is the wrong word. I think the fact that he went ahead with a continuation of the Bush tax policies, that shows that he's willing to work with the Republicans, in my opinion. Some of the other things that were passed kind of make me feel pretty good. I was chatting with Sean Broderick earlier in the show. Sean brought out the fact that the nuclear arms treaty was, moved a huge step forward, et cetera. I'm just seeing both sides beginning to work together, and that's making me kind of feel warm and fuzzy. I know you disagree with me. Tell me why.
Okay, I have to be the Grinch on this one.
No, you're not a Grinch, Pete. Come on.
I think things were done out of necessity versus desire. And I think there's a difference. I think if there was real desire to be homogenized and pulled together, I would be agreeing with you. It's, you know, everybody, somebody sees a cup half full, it looks the same cup, I see it half empty. I think, I certainly think Obama recognized that, like Clinton did after his first 2 years, moving more to the center would be in his best interest. And I think that's what he's done, but I don't think he's got close to the center. He's just moved from the far left. he literally, for lack of a better description, on Christmas, he threw the far left under the bus. And they would consider that he caved in this. From a general perspective, so I can appreciate what you're saying, you know, it's better to have bills passing, things moving forward versus things are up in the air. But I don't think it changes the long-term picture. And I suspect, and maybe a couple of months we can have a discussion about this to see which way it went, but I suspect as we get into 2011, we're actually going to see far more bickering between the parties.
Well, along those lines, let me ask you this. A mutual colleague of ours, Jay Taylor, feels that the center of the United States is moving farther and farther to the left. I'm not sure I agree with that. Now, it sounds like that's an unrelated topic to what we were initially discussing, but I don't think it is. You know, I think that when someone, you know, someone as respected as Jay says that, what he's implying is he's implying that we are definitely moving in a direction of fascism, for lack of better terms. I don't really see that. Do you?
I totally agree with you, and I, you know, Jay has been a longtime friend, and I love him to death.
Mine too.
I think the clear evidence is actually a move away from the center to the right, because things like the Tea Party and all grew out of that. What you'll find a lot of Tea Party members are not people that have been so-called conservative for a long time. These are more people that have grown disgusted. It's become an alternative. I mean, I need to let you know that just a few days ago before Christmas, I announced that I've left the Republican Party because of what transpired over the 9/11 first responder bill. I'm convinced now, while there's still good people in both sides of the aisle, I don't think the Democrats or the Republicans can truly restore America back to what it needs to be. And I've gone actually independent, so I can pick people versus parties.
Well, the nice thing about living in Washington State, where we are, is that you don't have to declare a party. And I have voted along independent lines for quite some time now. So I applaud you for doing that. But I have to say, I think out of sheer necessity, Pete, I think that the both sides of the aisle are going to start working together because, you know, I mean, look at the huge whack, for example, that the two leaders of the Democratic Party, if you discount the president just for a moment, look at what happened to them, Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid. I mean, Harry damn near lost the election in Nevada. Very, very close to losing that, somehow pulled it out. I don't know how, but in terms of the tax package that they so adamantly, the continuation of the tax policies, I should say, they were so angry about that, neither one of them voted on the issue. They abstained, number one, and number two, they did not attend the signing, which was, I think, a really big event. Other Democrats, the majority of Democrats, went along with it. I think you're going to see more of that happening in 2011.
Well,
and sure, it's out of the set.
Again,
yeah.
I respectfully disagree. I see the Democrats that remain, but the moderates have been shaken out, and the party is going to be more radical. I think they're going to dig in their heels and feel that they need to fight to get back what they lost.
Yeah.
So I actually see disharmony. So you know what? For the sake of America, I hope I'm wrong, but unfortunately, I think that's the way we're going to go.
Boy, I'll tell you, for the sake of America, I really hope that you're wrong, too. I think that's a possibility, Pete, but, you know, I just don't see it going that way. It's interesting. When I first read in Bloomberg on Thursday the article, you know, where Obama said that, quote, recent weeks marked a season of progress, it kind of made me feel warm and fuzzy. It kind of made me feel like that was a really, really nice thing to happen during the Christmas holidays, you know? And I think people have to work together. I just hope that people have enough common sense, Pete, that they start doing it. And apparently you don't think that's going to happen. You think that selfishness is going to prevail, for lack of better terms, huh?
I'll tell you why. When the earmark vote came up, that was the chance for both sides to show that they heard America speak on election night, and they didn't. I believe the politicians will return back to their ways, despite all the rhetoric that you might have heard during the holiday season. And unfortunately, I think it'll be even worse next year because this country's run out of money. We're broke. And the reality of that is going to hit hard, not only on the federal level, but particularly on the state and local level. So unfortunately, I think we're going to be talking about much worse things as we get into 2011. Hope I'm wrong, but I think I'm right. I hope you understand what I mean.
I'm not so sure that I would disagree with that issue. you know, I kind of dread that event. And let me define what I say that the event is. I think the event is the American public is going to become very, very cognizant of the fact that the United States is an insolvent entity. There's absolutely no question about that. We cannot get out of the situation that we are in without taking some incredibly drastic action. When people realize that that's the true situation, you're going to have a panic in the financial markets, Pete.
Oh, I agree with it, and I think people have become extremely complacent. We even see it in the market here as we go into the holidays, that bullishness levels are back to where it was just late 2007. The volatility has disappeared from the market. People become very comfortable in all of that again. And realistically, the problems that existed to cause the 2008 decline have multiplied. So I concur with you. It's only a matter of time before we're going to be discussing another crisis again.
And I'll tell you, when that other crisis comes up, and that crisis is going to be, I think, a meltdown in the conventional stock market, when that happens, I got to tell you, man, I want to be right where my family and I are right now financially, and that is in the precious metals sector. We own silver. We don't own gold, but we do own physical silver, and I also own a large number of stocks in the precious metal sector because, you know what, in my opinion, that's the only safe place to be long-term.
Well, I couldn't concur with you more other than the fact that outside the United States there will still be places that will do well, and in those areas certain types of commodities I think will continue to do well. One particularly is uranium. I think that's only going to work its way higher.
Yeah, I'm a real believer right now in basics. We own some uranium stocks. A full disclosure, I own stock in a company called Rare Element Resources, you know, and that company has done very well. But I got to tell you, for thousands of years, Pete, the currency of the last resort has been gold, and that's starting to morph into gold and silver. And
oh, you're singing to the choir here. I mean, I'm actually different than you. I put gold first and then have silver, but I think both are worthy investments still.
I know I'm singing to the choir. The reason I keep bringing it up on this show is we're trying to provide a service to our listeners, and that service is, in my humble opinion, people have to take notice of what's going on, and they have to realize that the sectors that you and I have been involved in, Pete, for the last 20 or 30 years are truly the places that one needs to be. Hey, listen, I want to wish you a very, very Merry Christmas to you and your family. I also want to say that for the sake of all the first responders, thank God that that situation did get funded. That is one, in my opinion, of the few bright notes that happened in 2010. Final words, Pete?
I agree with you that the fact that it got funded, I was disappointed what it took and how much was taken off the table. But for these poor people who suffered for 9 years, something is better than nothing. That's the only thing that they can walk away from. True American heroes who went through the ringer for 9 years finally salvaged something that should have been given to them 9 years ago.
I agree 100%. Okay, Big Al's going to be back in the second hour. We're going to be talking about resource issues. Stick around.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corwin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you own an Apple iPhone and love to listen to your favorite programs on GCN, I've got good news for you. I'm proud to announce that GCN has a brand new iPhone app available for our dedicated listeners at GCNlive.com. Listen to your favorite hard-hitting GCN programs live or on demand right on your iPhone. And the best part? The GCN iPhone app can be yours absolutely free. Download the iPhone app today by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
The people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.